Hello, I'm Joe Ford, and I want to talk with you today about witnessing in the Spirit. Open your Bibles to Acts, the 4th chapter, beginning with the 5th verse and going down through the 21st verse. Acts, the 4th chapter, beginning with the 5th verse and going through the 21st verse. This is one of the most remarkable passages of Scripture in the Bible that illustrates what it is and what it means to witness in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. As you're finding that in your Bible, let me give you some background information to what goes on in this particular passage of Scripture. Over in Acts, the 3rd chapter, we find that one day Peter and John were going to the temple to pray. And as they're on their way to the temple, there's a man who sits outside at the gate beautiful, who was lame from birth, who lays there, or who is brought to lay there every day, and asks for alms that he might have food and clothing and shelter and the necessities of life. He looks and asks of alms from Peter and John. Peter fastens his eyes on him but says, "I don't have any money to give you, but what I do have I will give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And this man who had been lame from his birth finds his ankles and his legs strengthened, and he begins to stand and leap and praise God. He was completely healed. A great crowd of people begin to gather because this is such a notable thing. Why, everyone was familiar with this man who had been there for years asking and begging alms, and suddenly he's walking and praising God, and he's pointing toward Peter and John as being responsible. And the people gather ground, looking at Peter and John as if they're some sort of God. Peter says to him, "I know what you're thinking, but I want you to know that I'm not responsible for what's happened here, that this has happened in the name, the power, and the authority of Jesus Christ. No mere man could have done what's happened to this man who's been made whole." And Peter told them about Jesus Christ. Jesus, he said, whom they had crucified and whom God had raised from the dead. And he did it in the power and the fullness of God's Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that day about 5,000 men were converted, not counting the women or the young people or the children that might have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Well, this created quite a stir in the city of Jerusalem. You can imagine a man that everyone in the town had known about or had seen there at the temple is suddenly walking around saying that God has healed him. Well, there have been a lot of strange things going on in Jerusalem ever since Pentecost, at least things that were not commonplace beforehand. And it caused quite a stir among the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And so they decided they're going to have to put a stop to this business about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So they call in Peter and John to inquire and interrogate and investigate this thing that happened, and in hopes of some way being able to put out the fire that started in Jerusalem about Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. And so beginning in the 4th chapter of Acts, we find Peter and John and the man who's been healed standing before this council, describing to them what they had seen and what they had heard in relationship to Jesus Christ. So beginning with Acts, the 4th chapter, and the 5th verse, I'm going to begin to read, and you follow along in your Bible. I'll be reading out of the King James Version. "And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set Peter and John in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, 'You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.'" We find Peter and John witnessing in the Spirit. And as they were witnessing in the Spirit, they were witnessing to Jesus. Notice that Peter said that this has happened not in my authority, not in the authority of John, but in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's happened in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And he preached to them in the name of Jesus. He declared to them that Jesus was responsible for what had happened. He didn't say that it happened because he was a member of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. He didn't come representing and saying that he was a representative of of the group of apostles or just the fact that he was representing some man or organization, but he said, I'm here as God's representative in the name of Jesus Christ, and I'm telling you it's in his name that all this has taken place. You see, he recognized that he was only God's representative. When I was pastoring in southeastern Oklahoma, I would welcome the people to our worship services on Sunday by saying, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we welcome you here this morning or this evening, whichever the case might be. And I said that because I wanted to impress upon the members of that congregation and upon the people that might visit from outside that these people were here not just as a means to an end themselves, that church wasn't just serving itself, but that church was there and those people met there to worship God in spirit and in truth in the name of Jesus Christ. And I wanted the people to go out in the community realizing that they were God's representative. I didn't want them to just go out and tell about the preacher or about the program or about the church building. I wanted them to go out into the world and tell them about Jesus Christ. You see, any time we go into the world and we tell people just about the fine buildings that we have or the great youth director or the wonderful pastor or the great program at our church, and we never get around to telling them about Jesus Christ, we devaluate the name of Jesus. Because none of those things are really able to bring eternal life. Only Jesus saves. Only Jesus redeems. Only Jesus makes new. There's no other name given among men under heaven that forgives sin. There's nothing else that brings purpose to life. There's nothing that will bring meaning and fullness to your existence every single day. There's nothing that will give you the real life apart from Jesus Christ. And that's the reason we're to witness to Jesus. We're to go in his name, and we're not ever to devaluate that name as we go. And Peter told them the whole message of the gospel. He said, I'm telling you that this was done in the name of Jesus, whom you crucified and whom God has raised from the dead. He gave them the most revolutionary message in all the world. That message is still the most revolutionary message that man has ever heard. Jesus Christ was crucified for the sins of men, and he was raised to new life by the power of God. And that new life, that resurrected life, is promised to you and I who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the gospel the world needs to hear from our lips as we tell them of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the only name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. You see, that's the only name that converts. It's found again over in John the 20th chapter, the 31st verse, as we find out the real reason the Bible was written. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. We need to tell people that there's life in the name of Jesus Christ. There's a popular song out today that goes, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. And there is something about that name, because with that name goes all the authority and all that Jesus Christ represents. And as we are in the world, we are there representing that name, that person, Jesus Christ, who's able to save and make me new. But I want you to see the key of why they witness to Jesus Christ, why they talked of Jesus most of all. It's found in the 8th verse of this 4th chapter. I want you to look and see what it is. Then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the key to witnessing to Jesus Christ, being filled with the Spirit. You see, it's a command for every Christian to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 tells us that we're not to be drunk with wine, we're in his excess, but we're to be filled with the Spirit. And when a man is filled with God's Holy Spirit, he's going to tell people about Jesus Christ. Now, I run into people occasionally in our day and time who are excited about the Spirit. And they talk about the Spirit this and the Spirit that. And I'm excited about the Holy Spirit too. But I'm always suspicious of people who are always talking about the things of the Spirit and the Spirit, but I never hear the name Jesus fall from their lips. And the reason I'm suspicious of those kind of people is the simple fact that as I discover and read in the Bible, I find that the Bible tells me that the main ministry of the Holy Spirit is to glorify God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. And that means that the Spirit's ministry is to glorify Jesus and to make us more like Him. That means we're going to talk about Him. The Holy Spirit was not brought into the world to glorify Himself, but to glorify Jesus Christ. And when a man is filled with God's Holy Spirit, he talks not only of the Holy Spirit with excitement and enthusiasm, but he talks even more of Jesus Christ, who came into the world and died for the sins of men. Therefore, when a man is witnessing in the Spirit, he is witnessing to Jesus. But let's continue the story beginning with verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do with these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done, is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. When a man is witnessing in the Spirit, he witnesses to Jesus and he witnesses boldly. Verse 13 tells us when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Now, boldness doesn't mean obnoxious. When you're bold, that means glad fearlessness. Complete assurance. They were bold because they knew whom they believed in. You see, we need to be bold as Christians in telling the world about Jesus Christ. There's nothing to fear in Christ, and we should tell all the world that Jesus is able to set men free from the bondage of sin. You see, as you read this passage of Scripture, though, you begin to see that this lame man was still here in the midst of all this, and you say, well, anybody could be bold in that kind of situation. Here was a man lame from birth standing right with Peter and John, and they were saying that God had healed him. The man was saying God had healed him. Who couldn't have been bold in a situation like that? But I don't have anything like that going on around me every single day. Wait just a minute. You see, this lame man is a perfect symbol of personal salvation. You look at it closely in the Scripture. We find that this man was lame from his birth. As we read the Scripture, we find in Psalms, the 51st chapter, we find that man is a sinner from the womb. You see the correspondence? We see as this man was growing up that maybe he tried many means, though it's not talked about in the Bible. He may have tried many ways to find a cure, but none ever came. He may have hoped and worked out every kind of solution he thought possible in order that he might be able to walk and be whole, but none was ever found. Just as you and I may go through life in one blind alley after another, searching one kick after another, hoping to find life at its best, but never coming to rest at all until we find life in Jesus Christ. Then one day comes the message of God, and we're made whole, we're made complete, though we've never been that way before. And that's exactly what happened to the lame man when he received the message of God and the truth of God from God's messengers. He was made whole, a perfect symbol of salvation. And therefore, when you and I go out into the world, though we may not have a lame man walking with us that's been completely made whole and able to walk again, our lives ought to be such proof of the miraculous power of God that we can be bold, because once we were blind and now we can see. Once we were lame, but now we're able to walk because of the power of Almighty God. And therefore, we can be bold because our life is proof that Jesus Christ makes a difference. But you know, that's one of the reasons that some people aren't very effective witnesses. That may be one of the reasons you're not opening your mouth every single day to tell people about Jesus. If the truth is really known, people can tell Jesus really lives in your heart. What about that person that sits in the aisle across the aisle from you in one of your classes in school? What about that person that lockers next to you? Do they know Jesus is real? Can they tell he makes a difference? Do they hear from you about Jesus Christ every single day? What about the person that you yell beside in the pep squad or march beside in the band or you play next to in the football field? Do they hear from you about Jesus? Is your life proved that Jesus makes a difference every single day? Or do they just hear about Jesus on special occasions or when you want to come to a revival meeting or a wow week? They need to hear from you every single day that Jesus Christ makes a difference. They need to see that he's made a difference in your life and your youth because of it. In fact, I think the Bible indicates that if your life and my life can be explained in any other terms than the fact that God has miraculously intervened in our lives and is continuing to do so every single day, then we are not living the life that really shows Jesus makes a difference. But notice as they looked and as they saw these men, they saw that they were unlearned and ignorant, and they marveled. When's the last time somebody came up to you and said, "Man, I can't believe you live life with such purpose every day. Where do you get this fullness? Where do you get this joy? Where do you get this victory? I can't believe you. Where does this come from? I'm amazed." When's the last time somebody was amazed by the kind of life that you lived? I think that the life in Christ ought to amaze the world because it's the supernatural God of heaven through His Spirit living through you and me every single day. And I think people ought to look at us and marvel because of Jesus living His life through us. But I want you to notice what the council did. As they looked at these men and they marveled at their life and their difference from other men, they got together in a little kind of huddle group and they said, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do with these men? We have got to put a stop with it, but what will we do to put a stop to what they're saying about Jesus Christ?" I want you to notice that that's the exact reaction of the world to the man turned on to Christ. When any person is really turned on to Jesus Christ, the world doesn't know what to do with him, just as this council didn't know what to do with Peter and John. They couldn't explain what had happened to them, but just as the Scripture says, they could not deny something miraculous had happened. Something had taken place that could not be explained in human terms. Jesus Christ had come to take over. And these men were witnessing in the Spirit of Jesus Christ to this truth. You see, when you witness in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, you're witnessing in a lifestyle. It's something that you do every single day. It's not something you come to a wow week and do, or you come to the church on a special night and that's the only time you open your mouth about Jesus, but it's an overflow of your everyday vital relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me give you an example of a young lady I know who really witnesses in the Spirit. What happened to her one day? She was riding on a bus, and as she was riding on the bus, she was reading her Bible. It wasn't anything unusual for her to read a Bible. It wasn't anything unusual for her to be reading the Bible in public. She wasn't trying to be a show. She wasn't doing it for somebody to look at her and say what a fine Christian she was. She was doing it because of her vital relationship to God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. As she was reading the Bible, a man next to her on the bus turned to her and said, "Why is a college girl like you reading the Bible?" And she began to relate to him why she was reading the Bible and her personal testimony of Jesus Christ coming to live in her heart. And as she was doing that, the man that was sitting the next seat over was listening in on the conversation, and he interrupted and said, "I'm sorry, but I can't quite hear everything you're saying, young lady, and I'd really like to. I'm real interested in what you're saying, and could you change positions with this gentleman and sit in this chair in the middle so both of us could listen to what you're saying?" And so the gentleman changed chairs, and the young lady sat between the two gentlemen and began to tell them both of her love for Jesus Christ and what He had done for all men on the cross. Well, as she was relating her testimony, about two rows up, suddenly a man stopped and he said, "Young lady, I couldn't quite hear what you said a few moments ago. Could you speak a little bit louder? I'm interested in what you're saying about the Bible and God and Jesus Christ." And the young lady began to speak louder and louder, and soon people all over the bus were hearing, until finally the bus driver himself came back and said, "Young lady, why don't you just get up here in front of the bus and tell all of us about God and about the Bible and about Jesus Christ?" Now, she hadn't planned in the beginning to tell that whole bus of God's love, but that's exactly what she did, because Jesus Christ opened all the doors and she was available to Him and believing He was going to use her as she was witnessing in the Spirit. And that's what it means to witness in the Spirit. That may not mean you're going to be witnessing to your bus as you ride to school, or even anybody maybe in a carpool that you're in, but it does mean that there are people around you every single day that God wants you to talk to about Him if you'll only be available and by faith believe He's going to use you. Witnessing boldly, not being afraid, but professing that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life to all the world. When Bob Harrington, the chaplain of Burbage Street, was converted, when he came home, his wife thought he was crazy. She couldn't understand what had happened to him, but she could not deny that something wonderful had taken place in his life. And that's the way it ought to be in your life. When Jesus Christ really takes over, they ought to stand back, the friends that you go to school with, and say, "Man, what happened to Bill? What happened to Mary? Well, I don't know what happened to her, but I know it was good, and I would like to see something like that happen in my own life." Because Jesus has taken over, and you can be bold in telling the world about that. Notice what these men did, though. They finally decided what they'd do is that they would threaten them. So they came back out and they threatened them. They said, "All right, guys, you can't ever again talk about Jesus Christ. You can't ever again go around talking in His name." There's a great truth here for you and I and why we can be bold. The Bible indicates in John, the first John 4:4, that all the world can do to a man in Christ is to threaten him. He can never defeat him. The Bible says, greater is the Jesus in you than he or the evil one that is in the world. You see, we're already more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. The world can give us a knockdown blow, Paul said, but they can never give us a knockout blow. So we're not to fear him that can destroy the body, but we're to fear him, speaking of Jesus, who can destroy the body and cast the soul into hell. We can be bold. We can tell people of Jesus Christ with glad fearlessness because of our vital relationship to him and knowing that we've already conquered the world through him every single day. But that's not the end of the story. Beginning with verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto him, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. When you witness in the Spirit, you're witnessing to Jesus, you're witnessing boldly, and you're witnessing constantly. They witnessed out of the overflow of their relationship to God. I know that Jesus has given us the commandment to go into all the world and make disciples. But I also know that it's so wonderful to be able to go out into the world like that and witness out of an overflow rather than just out of the command alone. And God intends for every Christian to know what it is to witness out of an overflow relationship with Him. How many times I've had the experience of reading the Bible, not being in a worship service, not listening to someone teach or share with me, but just God and me. And as I read the Bible, God began to speak to me and begin to move in my heart until the point that I'm so full that I can hardly stand. And I feel like I'm going to burst on the inside. And as I leave times like that, the first person I come in contact with, I want to share with them the wonderful things that God has shared with me. And it's not out of a command. It's out of a desire and a want to and the fact that I just can't keep my mouth shut. I have to tell what God has revealed to me, what I've seen and heard Him do in my own life. And that's exactly what the testimony of Peter and John was. They said, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and we have heard. That's the trouble with some of you, probably. That's the reason some of you are not telling anybody about Jesus, because you're not seeing or hearing God do much in your life. You see, you can't tell people that Jesus Christ brings fullness every day when you're not experiencing that fullness. You can't tell people that Jesus Christ gives meaning when He's not given meaning to your life and you're not claiming His riches and His power every single day. You see, Jesus Christ makes not only a difference for eternity, but He makes a difference every single day. You see that they were telling the difference that Jesus Christ was making in their life in the now. Not what He's going to do 10,000 years from now, but what He's done today. You see, the Christian life is not just for the sweet by and by alone. It's for the ugly here and now, and make abundant life for you in the now, every single day. You see, we ought to be able to tell people what God's doing in our lives today. In fact, if you can't tell me, if you can't tell someone what Jesus Christ is doing in your life today, your walk with God is phony as a $3 bill. Why don't some of you take the mask off? Why don't some of you get honest with God and say the real reason you don't open your mouth about Jesus Christ is because you're faking it? Because you're a phony and you go through all the motions and all the routines, but as far as having a vital day-by-day walk with God, you don't have it. But you've got to have that kind of walk if you're going to witness in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You see, I believe a person's going to talk about the things that are most important to him. And I believe if you love God as much as maybe some of you say you do, that you're not going to be able to keep your mouth shut about Him. I think that your mouth is going to be consistent with your life, and that's the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you're going to tell the world about the fact that He saves and His name makes a difference. But I want you to see the real test of witnessing in the Spirit. It's found in that very last verse, the 21st. For all men glorified God for that which was done. When you really are witnessing in the Spirit, it's God who gets the glory. It's not you, and it's not me, and it's not just more numbers in the church for the church's sake, or for your local church's sake, but it's more in the kingdom of God with God Almighty getting the praise and the honor and the glory for it all. All men glorified God for that which was done. You see, it's not the important thing for you to build a name or a great reputation. The important thing is for God to be honored. Now, God shares His honor and shares His glory, and He may even bring fame to you, but only for the purpose that He Himself might be glorified even more and more people might come into the kingdom. There's a story told about a young pianist who was a great concert pianist. And one day as he was giving a concert in a great convention hall, he gave the concert almost to perfection, it seemed, and when he was finished, the people rose to their feet and began to cheer and gave him a standing ovation. And as he looked out over there, he was thrilled to his innermost being as he looked and he saw all the people applauding what he'd done on the piano. But as he looked out, he saw one man that refused to stand, and as he did, his countenance changed, and rather than joy, he was filled with sadness, and he walked off the stage with his head bowed low. Well, as he was doing that, the manager came to him quickly, and he said, "Why did you run off the stage with your head bowed like that? Why don't you go back out there? The people are applauding, and all of this is for your glory. Go back out there and receive the glory that's yours. Can't you see that everyone's standing but one?" He said, "Yes, sir, but you don't understand. That one man who's refusing to stand is my teacher." Young people, you may win the fame and the applause and the wealth of all the world, but it's not the important thing. The important thing is that everything we do, whether it be word or deed, that it all glorify God. That's what it means to witness in the Spirit. And I pray as each one of you embark on a lifestyle of witnessing, that you'll witness to Jesus, you'll witness boldly, and you'll make witnessing a lifestyle for you, that all the world might know that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, that He is Lord, because He's Lord in and through your life. Every day. God bless you, young people, as you continue on a witnessing lifestyle.